God, I'm so like, just the thought of recounting my last couple of days. Yeah. Like, I was about to be like, oh, what's my big, like, so Nick, blah, blah, blah. And then you were like, you do the cold open, and my whole week just flashed before my eyes.
Yep.
And I lost my smile.
And it's only been 4 days since we've seen each other.
Yeah, boy has it. So yeah, we're recording this not very far after our last episode.
Yes.
Where I got too drunk, mm-hmm. for certain.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I'd say you got right level of drunk.
Yeah, where I made a nice, healthy dent in your floor.
Absolutely. Like. I hurt my knee. That's what we need on our soundboard. Yeah. I feel like we're starting to get, like, once we get 8 sounds that can fill out the whole soundboard, that's when we do it.
Yeah.
We have frog type beat.
Yeah.
We should get ding, ding, ding on there.
Yeah, for sure.
And I hurt my knee.
Yeah.
Fuck, what else? I wish we could do, like, the sound of Nick going... Yeah. You know, a little head tilt.
A little head tilt. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like, yeah, you do a lot of, like, head motions. You do, like, a big head jerk, like, well, yeah, you do that.
Just conveys emotions without words.
Yeah, we'll just have a lot of, like, kind of sounds in the soundboard from you.
If you guys think we need more sounds on our soundboard, tell us in the comments below, because genuinely, we should do it at some point.
Yeah, we got 8 slots.
Yeah.
Let us know. But so...
We actually have more than 8 slots.
Do we?
You see the arrows on the bottom? There's like several pages.
Oh, shit.
You can do hundreds of sounds. It's a $1,000 piece of equipment.
Wow. Crazy. But yeah, we're doing this very early. We have almost no anime to talk about.
What do you mean? Big Mashle episode came out.
Yeah, really?
Big Mashle.
Huge. Yeah. Very cool. I am unbelievably stressed, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why.
Mm-hmm.
I called you last night just ranting and raving.
Yeah.
Because as you guys probably know, I'm shooting my biggest short film ever this upcoming weekend, which is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Very stressed about it. Very excited. I'm getting all the props together, like putting holes in stuff, making things look used and dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a call from the locations guy who owns this big boxing gym that we're shooting in.
Calls us up. Is he a guy who owns a boxing gym, or is he a guy who does locations for films?
No, he doesn't do the locations for films.
Okay, he's just a guy who owns a gym.
Yeah, he's just the guy we're renting the gym from.
Mm-hmm.
He calls up Josh, my roommate and cinematographer, and he's like, hey, just found out, apparently, LADWP, which is like the people who run the electric services and water.
Department of Water and Power.
Yeah, he's like... DWP called, they're shutting off all electricity to the whole complex the entire weekend.
Yeah.
Why are they doing that, mm-hmm. Nick? Which is also his name.
Did you ask?
Yeah, we asked. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, you know, they found out that, like, some stuff that shouldn't have been happening was going on, and we're like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
What? I gotta be honest with you, I have no idea what you're talking about, man.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you know, some homeless people were coming in and sucking up the electricity. And we're like, okay.
Wait, so because there was people using his outside outlets to plug in their, like, I don't know, like one...
iPhones and shit?
Yeah, like, their phones and their cooktops.
Yeah.
They're like, never mind, no power for a weekend?
No power for anyone for a weekend.
That'll teach those homeless people. Like, in Gotham, LA.
So they came in, they just turned off the power and slapped a padlock on it. And they were like, no power this weekend.
Gotcha.
And so that's what's going on right now. We have no electricity. As of right now... We've, like, called up every generator business, like, in LA, and just, like, begged and wiggled our bright red little asses at them.
Listen, we'll put you in the credits. Yeah. We'll say it's sponsored by you.
Yeah, at the end of the credits, it's gonna be, like, a big rootin' tootin' cowboy thank you to fucking
to
LA
fucking
generators.
John's generators,
like, just this cobweb filtered.
There's
fucking...
There's a 15-minute ad in the middle of the short film being like, John's generators!
Yes.
You hear that humming in the background of this entire short film? That's brought to you by John's generators.
Yeah, just in the middle of this boxing match, he's getting pulped, like a fist is coming in and pauses and is like, has this ever happened to you? feel like you're getting your lights knocked out? No longer.
Pretty good.
If you think I am not prepared for this John's generator ad, this whole podcast is going to be laced with mild panic, if you can't tell from the fact that I'm stuttering every sentence. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this is the wettest you've ever been coming into a pod. Danny's dried since he got here, but Danny came here full wet, full, like, Took a shower on the way here, full wet.
Took a shower and then sprinted through the rainstorm we're in right now. So, yeah, not the best. Then we're getting all that sorted out. My Discord knows about this part. Mm. Getting all that sorted out. I'm in this, like, numb, false happy mode where I, like, came in the house and Sarah was like, hey, like, how's your call with Josh? And I was like, well, let me tell you, doll, it was Tops. Here's what's going on.
A little thing just happened known as the stock crash. But fortunately for us, I don't believe in money.
So I tell her all that and she's like, oh no, here, I'll make you some dinner. Like, you know, you keep figuring it out. And I'm like, sure. I'm like pacing trenches into my living room. I hear like a big, oh no, from the kitchen. I walk into the kitchen.
Sarah's on fire.
Like, nothing else. Yeah. Like, food's fine and cooked. She's just flaming, standing there, give me a big shrug. Like,
shucks.
She goes, Danny, I don't know what happened.
I'm flammable.
Oh, shucks, doll. I walk in, the oven door is like half open, and just all the dinners just at the bottom crease of the oven door. Also, Sarah has like the drawer door cabinet in our hands, severed from the drawer itself.
What? How do those two things happen simultaneously?
I have pictures. We're using my phone to record the live stream, so I can't show you, but she dropped all the food in the oven and then tore the drawer off.
Out of like anger. Yeah. She's like, gotta use this to defend myself from Danny when he tries to hit me for burning dinner.
Like, she like tore the like the love tail or the dovetail like front part of this drawer.
My God.
Yeah, like Hulk tore it off.
Jesus.
Yeah. And so I just stepped in and I like look and I was like, what? Like, I was like, how is this happening too?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was like, I'm just having like a mild panic attack through this whole podcast episode.
Good. That's good. We'll get you through it.
Yeah. So what, you know, what'd you watch this week?
Oh, no, you know, there was a said big Mashal episode, you know, a lot going on. I want to give you a little thing that'll make you feel better. Because you said
a gun?
Well, there's a couple in this house. Yeah. You said you got way too drunk during the podcast and I didn't get drunk.
Dorothy confirmed that you are a lying drunk.
What do you mean?
You will get drunk and then lie. You're like Sarah. You'll lie and be like, I'm not drunk. What are you talking about?
Listen, okay, no, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And this is an annoying thing about me. I talk so fast, right?
Right.
That I basically slur while I'm sober. I've rewatched our drunk episode. I don't slur a single, like, I'm watching it and I'm like, if I didn't know I was drinking, I wouldn't know I was drunk in that episode. So, like, I was like, I see myself drinking. And I'm like, okay, cool. I talk so fast that, like, yes, I slur when I, like, get a couple of drinks in me, but I start slurring at like 3 out of 10. So everyone's like, oh, Nick's fucking hammered. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm actually like doing pretty good. I'm just slurring.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not good at diction.
I'm not good at dick, you know?
I'm still learning how to use it. Yeah. So I'm not good at dictation and stuff like that or diction. And because of that, like, I slur as soon as I hit like 3. So everyone's like, oh, Nick's slurring his words. And I'm like, I could fucking read a dictionary right now. Like, it's just like, so unfortunately that happens. Everyone's like, oh, Nick's hammered. And that's like the podcast. I got tipsy.
Yeah.
After the podcast though, because I consumed so much soju, I had like a hot ball of acid sitting in my fucking, just eating a hole in my stomach. And I like, if I drink soju, I drink like a bottle, maybe. I'm more of like if I'm going to drink, I'm like whiskey, beer, vodka, like straight to the point, fucking don't beat around the bush. Right. I don't even drink that much beer because like it just fills me up. So like, soju is just so sweet. And I, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I was like, if like you guys are drinking soju, you're going to have a hangover. Like, but like, goddamn, it doesn't taste good. 9 o'clock rolls around. I'm like sobering up with Dorothy. Like, we're sitting watching a movie, all this. And I'm like, I need to throw up. I need to puke. And so,
God.
Just because like I could feel my stomach trying to fucking eat itself. So I have to go to the bathroom, pull trig. And like, it's been so long since I've ate or drank. It's just bile. So I literally just threw up stomach acid and it blew out my nose. I was sniffly for like 3 days because the inside of my nose was just fucking torched. It was not good.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
You know what? I also kind of have a not even close story, but like first off, my condolences.
So
that
I'm just
is terrible.
Beating the shit out of Sarah so for it.
Like, Sarah's trying to keep me back with a fucking severed drawer. Like, she goes, Danny, please.
Please. It was Ava. She jumped on me. Yeah.
But yeah, Ava's in the oven just like, bork.
Like, Danny just like, things are going well.
Yeah. Like, this is fine.
Yeah.
I forgot also part of my worst week ever. Mm. I had to go to the doctors. I finally went to an ENT.
Okay.
That turned out not covered under my insurance.
Surprise.
Sometimes your insurance just lies to you.
Yeah.
Did that, went to an ENT, which is an ear, nose, throat doctor, to figure out why my throat is always hurting.
ENT is an ent. They're from Lord of the Rings, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Keep trying.
Yeah, I went to the woods.
Yeah,
Nick,
I went to Treebeard. Yeah.
Went to Treebeard, and I was like, can you take a look at my throat,
fucking
guy?
Get in there, big guy.
But so it was the most fucking like alien abduction feeling event.
Oh, you're getting probed?
I was getting so probed. Mm-hmm. I was getting absolutely discovered at this office.
Yeah.
Where they're like, they spray some like numbing stuff in your nose.
Hurricane spray.
Yeah, they spray you and your whole like front of your face is numb.
Yep.
Feels like I just got like beat up for the first time in
my
life.
That's what cocaine feels like.
Is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting. But, like, I felt that...
Not that I would know that. I don't know what camera to look at when I convey my innocence here.
Oh, yeah, Nick has to do one statement to each camera legally.
Not that that's something I would be aware of.
Yeah, you're just like, legally, I've never done coke.
Yeah.
Legally, I've never done coke.
Yeah. Except for, I think it might be illegal in Oregon now.
Yeah, it's like, Your Honor, he didn't say it in the wine.
Yeah. Listen, there's some people who didn't get the message, and therefore he's a liar.
But, so, yeah, they numb me up, and it only boosted my confidence that I can 100% take down a wolf. If I just get numbed a little, if I just take some spray, I was like, I could take it.
To your whole body?
I could take anything.
To your whole body?
To enough of my body.
The wolf's going to give you a rub down period?
Maybe.
There's going to be like, oh, yeah, Danny, yeah, of course, get that hurricane spray all over yourself.
Do I get no prep time?
Why would you get prepped?
Once again, I
what
feel
is
like
this a fucking hypothetical Batman fight?
Yeah,
you want to learn about the wolves' patterns?
I think it's annoying that wolves get teeth, claws, and strength, and I get none of the good parts of humans.
The fucking point, Daniel.
I get no good parts of the human body.
Yeah, well, you got opposable thumbs.
I got thumbs.
Yeah.
More like disposable thumbs if they don't come with a fucking weapon.
Listen, I've learned that they're less disposable than you would think. Yeah.
But,
Oh, and by the way, my trip of the week, people are just now sending me videos of dogs fighting and people being like, here's how you break up dogs that are fighting. So I have to relive the fucking trauma. That is like all of these videos I'm getting sent on Instagram, they're like sensitive video. And I'm like, I always click sensitive video because I'm like, it's probably just somebody playing like Mortal Kombat or something. And it's just two dogs like clamped onto each other's necks. I'm like, what the fuck? Like I have like legitimate PTSD from the moment. Like I think about it when I'm trying to fall asleep some nights and I'm like, oh, cool. It's coming back.
Yeah, just a jump scare at you.
For the first time in my entire life, I understand why some videos have trigger warnings.
Yeah.
Because it's like, actually, like, I watched these videos and it like brought me back.
In how many of those videos does someone have their thumb up a dog's ass?
That was everyone's like, don't stick a thumb up a dog's ass. That was the whole thing. They were like, why is this a thing that people think? And I was like, fucking Austin Porter, man. That's why.
Yeah, blame pretty much.
Yeah.
The
Jesus Christ.
But so.
Fuck me.
I know I told Sarah that, and I was like, yeah, like, they're eating each other, like, Nick's trying to pry him off, Dorothy's got her thumb up Neutron's ass or whatever. She's like, what?
Yeah.
So I'm all numbed to hell, but first off, the numbing spray hurts like hell. Like, that's why you reminded me of it, because it feels like acid, like, going into your nose until you're numb. Then they had to put this like camera through my nose, down my throat.
Oh.
And I've got this like nurse like right up in my face. And she's like, you could see what the camera's seeing on the screen if you want. And I'm like,
those are my insides.
Yeah, like you don't want to swallow because you don't want to swallow this thing like through your nose.
You swallow it and she's like, whoa.
She's like, hey. She's got the fucking light.
She starts reeling you in. We got a bite.
Start flopping in the chair. Like,
But like, meanwhile, you're just ripping your fucking septum apart.
Yeah, the physician's assistant is like, oh, pull. And they're like, no, you got to give him some lead.
tire him out. Yeah.
But like, she's like, look at me. She's like, you doing all right? And as she said it, literally a single tear just comes down. And I'm like looking her in the eye. Like,
she's like, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, she's like, oh, good. Just one tear. Yeah. Like, high pain tolerance.
Yeah. So what's going on?
My sinuses are fucked. I gotta get some horribly disgusting sinus procedure that I won't describe on pod.
What, you just like, is it like your septum deviated or some shit? Or
no, it's like, I guess I'll describe it on pod.
Okay, fucking do it. Who cares?
In the least...
By the way, we have no anime talk about... No, we have drafts in anime talk coming up eventually, but we'll fucking get there.
My sinuses are all like fucking full of nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I like feel it.
Boogers? You got a case of the boogers. Fuck, that should have been on the OA drafts moment. Anytime we just threw some sauce on a bee.
I've never heard an adult say boogers.
Sorry, there's like, oh, you got a big kid. You got the worst case of boogs we've ever seen. You ever blow your nose, you booger boys?
Came down with the boogers, kid. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, fucking get shit on, nerd.
Just like kick the door open, like, hey, he's got boogs.
This idiot doesn't know what a Kleenex is.
But so, yeah, it's full of boogers. And like, and it's like resulting in like my throat getting hurt because I got like post nasal drip.
drink water while I was laughing. All right, Jesus continue. I'm sorry.
Christ, thanks. Yeah. But so, yeah, my sinuses are all swollen and like clogged up. And I like, when I talk, the reason my throat is hurting so much, when I talk, I'm like exerting more energy than the average person has to get words out.
Gotcha.
And I feel it like when I talk, I feel like press against like the back of my nose.
Oh, God.
But I thought I was just nasally and Italian, yeah. You know, my long schnoz.
I feel like the long schnoz honestly is good for airway clearance.
You would think?
Yeah.
I breathe like 48% the amount a normal person breathes, nice. Apparently. She was like, you are getting filtered air and it's not enough.
You got HEPA up there. You're like, you're clearing out like 98% of particulates.
But so the procedure is so horrible. They like stuff balloons in your sinuses.
Oh, I've seen this.
And then like balloon the boogs out of you.
Oh God.
Yeah, I told you.
I've seen it for broken noses where they put the huge cotton swabs up and they're like this long.
Whoa.
You haven't seen the really after you break a nose and you get it fixed, they like stick cotton swabs up your nose and they pull it out. It's like this long. It's like, this has got to be what, like 7 inches?
Yeah.
Nine?
Yeah, yeah.
This is close to like 9 inches, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Wait, what? No.
No. What do you mean?
You think 3 more inches of that is a ruler?
I'd say so. This is what I've been told my whole life.
I know. You're doing a bit. I get it.
Now. This is a bit?
That's a bit.
What do you mean this is a bit? No, yes. Okay. It's like 7. We'll be realistic. I have a an anime related cold opening.
Oh, last thing, real quick.
Yeah.
When she was telling me about this procedure,
yeah.
She was like, "Yeah, you're gonna be awake, but you'll be drowsy and this and that." Mm. And I'm like, "Love to not be awake, but whatever."
Is there a non-awake option?
Yeah. She did hit me with like, she's like, "Yeah, you know, you'll be awake. It'll be very uncomfortable. You'll get some painkillers after," and gave me like a verbal wink.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are we talking about that? And she was like, we're talking hydro.
Yeah.
We're talking oxy. And I'm like, all right. Like, this nurse was down to party.
She was like, listen, you tell me what you want. All right. Listen, this script page go crazy.
Yeah. I've never done intense painkillers before. So I am excited.
Neither have I actually.
Really?
You know what you do?
Huh?
Split the bottle halfway, do a podcast.
Do a painkiller podcast?
Yeah, baby. Hey, this is. And we just both fall asleep on our fucking.
It's half snoring, half me choking on the mic. Like, I can't get it out.
My mouth. I got cotton mouth. It's like, no, that's the fucking, it's your sure cover. All right. I have my last cold opening thing is I understand how people feel about me spoiling things now. I had something spoiled for Cody. Well, I'm not going to say fantastic editor right now because, he's on the verge of being fired, but, he texted me, new JJK chapter just came out 249 and like leaked. And so like, basically the way leaks work is the chapter comes out in Japan And then there'll be like a couple of dudes who get the raw leaks, right? And so it's like some people just like get the photos of like the chapters in Japan. And then like a couple of dudes who speak Japanese and English will do some rough translations on Twitter and they'll post the pages one at a time. That's like technically the okay leaks. Before that, there's just people describing what happened in the chapter. Like it just reads some Japanese dude's description of what happened. And so those are like the really bad leaks. If you wait, I'd say like 18 hours after the leaks come out, then there's the scans and people erase the Japanese and write in like roughly translated English. So Cody reads the fucking descriptions. Like Cody, like the second the leaks are like a possibility, Cody reads them.
Right.
And so he's like, he knows everything, which is, it's doubly annoying because Cody skipped all of JJK to get to where we are now.
Really?
Like Cody didn't read the manga, but because he was editing all my things, he was like, well, I guess I'll just be caught up. And so occasionally he'll just text me and be like, what are Yuta's abilities? And I'm like, I'm going to choke you to death.
That's not how he says it. How's he say it, Nick?
What?
What? He goes, all hail.
What are Yuta's abilities? Yeah, I'm from Kentucky.
Listen, if you're mad at him, this is how we get him back.
Yeah. Bingo, bango, bongo. You got it. I've realized I have been adjusting the height of the table this entire time. So anyways, he doesn't read the manga. He's like, all right, I'm caught up with the leaks. So I'm like working out the next morning because the leaks come out at night. So I'm working out the next morning and I'm going to film a video about it. And he just texts me out of nowhere and he goes like, he just like, hey, this thing that happens in this chapter was crazy. And it's like the biggest thing that happens in the chapter. And I was like, I haven't read it yet, you son of a bitch. And so it just got spoiled for me. And that was like this like moment of clarity for me where I was like,
you get it now.
I do this.
Yeah.
I do this to other people.
You know what's funny?
Mm-hmm.
Cody, this is not Cody's first time
spoiling something for me.
Yeah.
Does it a lot.
Spoiling shit for, well, remember you were in some hot water, sort of, with the like
thumbnails?
The thumbnail? Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
See, but here's the thing. He, as like a basically, I guess he's not anonymous because he makes content now, but like as like an anonymous editor, I can just be like, he'll just fall on the sword. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
My editor. And
whoops.
Yeah. Meanwhile, everyone's clicking the thumbnail because the thumbnail's good. And like technically, spoilers are good for views if you want to get into the minutia.
Yeah.
So I can just be like, whoopsie.
Whoopsie-doops.
300,000 views in 6 hours? What happened?
Oh my
like,
God.
Blame Cody. Yeah. It's very nice. Outside of that, I'm NC Hammer 23, also known as the Weeb Commander, and I'm joined on this short week episode by Danny, who's going to be filming a short film, and I go to China on Saturday.
Woo!
Both
equally fun and stress-free activities.
Yeah. I'm going to hang out with Dorothy's family and eat mooncakes and get dressed up in like traditional Chinese garb to celebrate Lunar New Year.
Yeah.
And then Dorothy's going to be kickstarting her fashion influencer TikTok while we're there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing a lot of stuff. It's super stressful.
Nice. You know? I'm going to go like go to a fitting for like nooses.
I thought they were like kind of one size fits
no,
all.
Like you go into a shop and it's like buying shoes where they got just tons of them and you're just like dip your head in and you're like, ah, this one's a little scratchy.
And I don't like the color of the rope on this one.
Yeah.
You're like,
when they find me, I want them to be like, that's classy.
That's,
you know, this
listen,
guy booled out.
Silk? Did he go the silk route? That's crazy. You're like, I didn't think silk had the tensile strength to break a human neck, but here he is.
Like, it doesn't.
Cut me down.
Pull my feet.
I've been here for a month.
This is a dark pit. Yeah,
this is where we're at.
Yeah, boy is it. But that's exciting. Good for you.
And I'm joined by?
Oh, Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Director.
So, director.
Director Daniel.
Self-loather.
Mm-hmm.
Panicker.
Mm-hmm.
Horse whisperer.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah.
There's money in that.
Yeah.
So, basically, me and Danny have two-ish things to talk about today. And those would be Mashal and Metallic Rouge.
Remember when you were like, do you have notes on your phone?
Mm-hmm.
I have my whole goddamn draft on there.
Yeah. You don't remember? It's five items.
I'll come up with something.
You got it.
Yeah.
I believe in you. So I just want to talk about Mashal briefly, even though you don't watch it. You never got to like watching the episode.
I know. I meant you said this episode's crazy.
Yeah.
I'll try and do it. Well, it'll be over by the time you get back.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to just.
No, it won't. No. One episode, we'll be like last-ish couple of episodes by the time I get back.
No, watch one of those. I love the idea of just coming in and being like, yeah, I watched Mashal, episode 41, that is, and no others.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, what happened?
So basically they're doing, have you seen Harry Potter?
Yeah.
So they're doing, what is the Goblet of Fire? Like, they're literally just doing the Goblet of Fire. So it's like, it's called like the Divine Visionaries Test.
Okay.
So there's a couple of people who are like the top students in the entire school who are competing to get the title of Divine Visionary, which is kind of like, it's kind of like Hashira in the like the Mashal world. Like, you're the top fucking cheese in the magic world.
Right.
And so, and all of the top cheeses come from Easton Magic Academy, which is where Mashal is. So they're doing like this thing right now where they have to like find a key while avoiding these like minotaurs with giant like butcher's blades and all that. So it's kind of like the maze thing that Robert Pattinson dies in.
Right, right.
Which was in the Goblet of Fire.
Boy, was it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so, like, they're going through, like, slowly but surely, like, carving off the, like, divine visionary candidates through all these tests.
Very
cool. And so the next test is kind of like, they do it in Black Clover. It's like the captains versus, like, it's like the captain's battle where, like, everybody has a crystal and you have to, like, smash the other team's crystal. There's three teams of three and every single person has a crystal. And so it's just been so much fun because, like, listen, I've said my piece on Harry Potter. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I just don't give it. Like, I just like, it's never, I've seen literally the Goblet of Fire one.
Right.
That's it.
That's it.
That's the only one I've seen.
That's a good one to see. Nothing cooler than a wizard tournament.
That's what I wanted, the tournament arc.
Yeah.
That was all I wanted. I was like, this is the most anime fucking shit that Harry Potter has to offer me.
Yeah.
I'll take that. So I've seen that one. I've seen them turn into sharks to save the women. I've seen them, right? They turn into a fucking Russian
mermaids.
One. Yeah, the Russian one turns into a shark.
Yeah, I guess he does.
And he saves his Russian lady. And so it's just like, Mashal is just stealing Harry Potter's IP, but to me, doing it in a more fun way.
Are they doing like the actual games or are they different games?
So, I mean, like, so this one was they had to get a key from a giant balloon that they couldn't destroy with magic while avoiding these minotaurs that you can't destroy with magic.
I'd argue that's a less fun game.
What do you mean?
Then
what is it? Then run into a fucking maze to fight a goblet?
Maze? Not the best game.
Yeah.
I'll agree. The mermaid one, pretty fun. Turning into fish boys.
Misogynistic.
Why? It's, well, because you gotta find a lady.
You gotta find a lady.
I guess, yeah, do they just kidnap
women?
They're women.
The woman in your life? Yeah. Yeah, they're just like, fucking, gotcha, Hermione.
Yeah, did Hermione, like, sign a consent form?
No,
like,
God, no. It was just like, Hermione, smell this flower. And she was like, wow. Oh. just fucking out. Yeah.
Dumbledore just turns to the other teachers and is like, you didn't see shit.
just drags her off by the feet. Yeah. I have to throw her at the bottom of a lake.
I will Avada your Dabra so hard.
Right now. Like,
the dragon one is hype. Very cool. He fights a dragon. He just fights a dragon.
Don't they have to get the egg or
they
some
shit? They gotta get an egg, okay. But you gotta fight a dragon for it. Then the dragon gets loose and everybody's like, oh boy, this is fun.
Like, how did we not see that coming? Like, fucking.
The second the dragon broke its chain, there should have been like 18 Avada Kedavras headed its way.
Like, hey, headmaster, help with the fire-breathing lizard.
The dragon breaks its chain, like, you just see an immediate, like, Avada Kedavra! Yeah. Drops dead, and Dumbledore's like, oh, that was almost an HR nightmare. Oh my God.
Why do we have these? Do we make these just for this game?
Harry's like, but you had it under control. He's like, shut up, I gotta sit down.
I didn't even know I could do that spell. I just heard about it. Holy shit.
I need a drink. He's like pawing at Snape. He's like, Severus, get me a drink.
Please.
Oh God! He's like dabbing his forehead.
Yeah, fucking EPA is like PETA's kicking down the door, just being like, "Why?"
He's just looking at it. He's like, or he like looks away. He's like, "I can't." He looks at it. He's like, "Ooh,
this is such a beautiful animal."
No, there's only one of these. What have I done? For what?
Did you even get the egg? You didn't? Fuck! We gotta do it again!
Just hear him, like, sobbing and crawls in its mouth, like, I just wanna die!
We need to use it! We need to use the body! Get the meat!
Everyone's just, like, silent watching this dude collapse.
He's just slow descent into madness. Fuck! Oh God, I'm sorry! We didn't even name you!
He breaks his wand, like, starts grabbing at people's wands and snapping them. Give me that! We're monsters! We're monsters!
Oh, fuck! Oh,
Jesus Christ.
If that's how it would gone, I would say it's better than Mashal, genuinely.
That's awesome.
That would be really good.
Listen, J.K. Rowling, terrible person.
Terrible person.
But have we considered Maybe she's just goofing.
Maybe she's just, yeah.
Here's what, I came up with this epiphany mid this podcast just now. Her name is literally JK. Just Kidding Ruffling.
Well, yeah, if you replace the F with the W.
Yeah, it's a fucking meme name. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's just memeing on everybody.
Yeah, she's just like, who better to meme than the trans community? Yeah,
yeah, they need a challenge.
Yeah, about time they had something go their way.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, someone comes out with the name JK Ruffling. All I'm saying is,
take everything they say with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
So anyways, what I was saying is Mashal is just stealing the IP.
Yeah.
But like putting an anime twist on it, and I love it so much. I don't know if you would like it because there's like so many moments in it where I'm like, this is objectively really stupid, but it's very funny.
I'll check it out. I mean, it's literally like a premise made for me with that one asterisk of like, it's too stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I love the idea. Love the premise. I love like Harry Potter. The films were so cool, some of them, and it sucks that Harry Potter, like, monopolized wizards, and it sucks that Pirates of the Caribbean monopolized pirates, to the point where we get no other wizard or pirate material.
Have we ever gotten a, if I was about to say one, I was like, have we ever gotten a pirate anime? One Piece?
Yeah, there
like,
we go.
One Piece is so hardly... I guess it is. It's like, it is about pirates, but
does not know what a pirate is.
Right?
But like, yeah. Like, it's definitely loose pirating.
Right? Because like, it's like, oh, everybody on the Straw Hat crew are pirates. And it's like, one of them's a samurai, right?
Yeah.
Like,
one's just a samurai.
One's a chef. One's a fish. Like,
it's also funny that they're like, being a pirate is a legitimate career path.
Yeah.
Where Luffy will just show up and be like, hey, chef, you should be a pirate. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right.
I fucking listen. It's about changing what's on my 1099, but that's fine.
Are there any other crimes that we can do? Like, imagine if there's an anime where you could have a protagonist just go up to people and be like, hey, you should be an arsonist. And it's like, I'll join the arsonists. Why not?
I feel like...
it's like anti-Fire Force.
Assassin.
Assassin works.
Assassin
yeah, guilds
works.
Of assassins are I mean, always
that's what,
there.
That's what Akame ga Kill is all about. They're night raid. They're assassins.
Thieves,
like a
thieves guild,
kind of.
Yeah, I guess like, kind
like,
of like.
If you
want to
like get into the muddy waters of like, what's a terrorist? What's a freedom fighter?
Yeah,
like, Akame ga Kill, they're all like technically freedom fighters against like a tyrannical government.
I guess like One Piece pirates are the thing that's always genuine. I wonder if this is annoyed. I know it hasn't. The thing that was always weird to me about Luffy, and the thing I like struggled to get behind until. I was like, until like around Alabasta or like until Barate, where I'm like really invested, is Luffy like people being like, I want to be a pirate. I want to fight the government. Our government's fucked.
Yeah.
That I can get behind. Luffy being like, I just want to like, I don't know. Like, he doesn't care about money. He doesn't care about the government. I just want to be on the ocean and do crime, maybe?
Because that's the thing. It's like, being a pirate, it's like such a, like, if you're on a boat and you're not a marine, you're a pirate.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, just the way it works in One Piece. And, like, Luffy is so not a pirate. Like, Luffy doesn't want to be a pirate for, like, plunder or to, like, kill people. He wants to be the most free person on Earth.
Right.
So that's why he's like, oh, I identify that the King of the Pirates is the freest person on Earth.
Right.
So I understand that if I become the King of the Pirates, I will be the freest person.
But what is he shackled by?
What do you mean?
Like,
why is he not?
Yeah, why is he not there yet?
King
why is he
pirates?
Not free?
Because you're not King of the Pirates until you get to Laugh Tale.
Okay.
So there's a secret island at the end of the Grand Line that you have to get. You basically have to get a bunch of information from a bunch of, like, I forget, they're not obelisks. They're big stones. They're big stones with, like, ancient hieroglyphics on them. And so, like, only Robin can read the hieroglyphics. So if you get... there's four of the red ones. And if you get the four red ones, you essentially get four coordinate points that, like, if you draw lines between them, tell you where Laugh Tale is.
Gotcha.
So you have to get to those. And then there's a bunch of other regular colored ones that are, like, stone colored that tell you about the ancient weapons of the old world.
I understand why this series is a thousand
1,100 chapters. And what's crazy is those, I cannot remember what the name of a stone square is. Anyways, those, like, stone squares.
Slab?
This sort of, I guess. They don't
tablet.
But they're, like, massive. They don't get introduced until episode 700?
I mean, We find out...
The red ones don't, at least.
I forget how it goes. We learn about, like, the ancient weapons in Alabasta. Yes. That's where we first learn about one of
you
those.
You learn about, like, Poseidon. I think it's, like the ancient ship, right? So everyone's looking for, like, Frankie's ship, right? The guy who taught Frankie how to make ships. He knew... He made Goldie Rogers' old ship, the Oedipus Jackson or something like that. And... So, like, he knew how to make, like, the ancient weapons. So, like, you learn about the ancient weapon ones, because, like, Robin's always looking for the red ones, but you can't find them. She's like, oh, another world-ending weapon. God damn it. And because where she grew up, O'Hara had one of them. And so, like, so, yeah, she's looking for the red ones. The red ones tell you where Laugh Tale is. Once Luffy gets to the, like, to Laugh Tale, he becomes the king of the pirates.
Got you.
Because Goldie Roger left everything he ever gathered on Laugh Tale.
So, he... Right. So Luffy doesn't want to be free. Not really. Because he is free. There's nothing.
There's technically nothing stopping. Well, there kind of is.
What?
I mean, there's like a government still.
But like, I guess.
But like, he does whatever
he wants.
But
he doesn't really care. Yeah.
Luffy does whatever he wants.
He's not like, I want to be in a lawless area.
Yeah. You know?
Because they're like pirate islands.
Yes,
like
there is.
Where you're essentially out of the reach of the government.
Yeah.
It'd be cool. It'd be interesting, and maybe there is. I don't know, but it'd be cool if like there was a arc or a moment where someone like challenged Luffy's beliefs and were like, "You don't really want what you say. Like, you don't know what you actually want." Because he wants to be king.
Yeah,
which is like the fucking not. It's different from freedom.
Yeah,
technically, he wants like. Control a little if you want to be king of the pirates, and also he wants to explore because he is free.
Yeah, like he's free to do whatever he wants. He's been touring the Grand Line for the last like 3-ish years.
Yeah, so yeah, that's just interesting to me. And then also something, so like I was saying before that like it's annoyed me, or not annoyed me, but I've like it's been hard for me to wrap my head around like, oh yeah, Luffy wants to be a pirate, because I'm like, you don't really, because anytime you see someone doing a crime, you're like a dick about it.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Like anytime a pirate's being a pirate, he's like, and it's like, that's what they, like, letter of the law is what, like, that's what they do. They steal.
Yeah,
they
I know. Pillage. That's what's annoying, is he's like, he sees someone, like, killing a dude, and he's like, that's not right. Yeah. And it's like, you're a goddamn pirate. Like, what do you...
Do you know what your bounty is?
Luffy's, like, the worst fucking coworker to have to deal with. Yeah. Like,
well, that's what's funny, is he's a part of, like, the worst generation, and it's, like, him and a bunch of other, like, up-and-coming pirates in the New World. And they're all, like, the rest of them are just, like, straight-up pirates. Like, they do the murdering.
Yeah.
And Luffy's just like, these are my friends. Yeah. But, like, when, like, one of his friends, like, goes off and, like, Law, somebody who's, like, he's best friends with, cuts the hearts out of 1,000 Navy men and then presents it to the Navy and is like, I'm a fucking warlord now. And they're like, well, shit, I guess you are.
Well, shit, yeah, you brought the hearts.
Yeah, yeah. But then like he sees like Bellamy being like, I don't know, like punching a barmaid.
Bellamy being kind of mean.
Yeah. Like, and he's like, all right, I gotta slam this guy into the ground with the force of 1,000 sons.
I know Luffy's beef with Bellamy is so funny because he's like, just a like bully Macklemore, like he just like rolls up in his like dumb ritzy outfit and he's like, I don't know, I do love the moment where Bellamy walks into the bar and just cracks a bottle over Luffy's head.
Yeah,
so I was like, oh, that's like, I don't know, like some adult ass like shit.
Yeah,
like I don't know, Bellamy was the first moment where I'm like, this feels like an adult scary situation,
especially
for
because
a kid.
Before that is Whiskey Peak, which is just such a
what
fucking,
was Whiskey
it's
Peak?
Like when they're dealing with like explosive boogers, man.
Oh
yeah, like Mr. Five, all that,
some
you know,
bullshit. I forgot just, about that.
Yeah, you're like they gotta pay to get into heaven or some shit. It's a whole thing. It's,
oh well, that's Skypiea. Skypiea.
Oh, you're right. Skypiea is paying to get into heaven.
And that's stupid.
I love Skypiea.
I know. That's so strange.
But like, I feel like people are gonna see this and go, oh, they will get One Piece. And like, listen, I'm 870 fucking episodes in, 880 at this point, I believe. Maybe I don't understand Luffy's grander motivation, but so far as I understand, almost 900 episodes into the goddamn anime, his motivation is that he wants to be the freest dude alive.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard people like who review One Piece be like, oh, Luffy, I love everything but Luffy until X arc, which is interesting. I've been seeing that recently.
Like that people are like turning on Luffy?
Like not turning, but newcomers, like Moist Critical, you know, Penguin Zero.
Yes.
He reviewed One Piece up till, forget where he was, but he was like, one of my big complaints was Luffy until like episode 300.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, bold and brave take of you to be like, Luffy's the worst character.
I think that's actually a pretty accepted take.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel like Luffy is definitely in this. This doesn't speak to the weakness of Luffy as an MC. It talks to the strength of One Piece's ensemble cast. But I would say out of all of the most popular anime on Earth, I would say if you asked 10 One Piece fans, the least amount of One Piece fans would say that the MC is their favorite character.
Yeah, I wonder, like, I'm sure this has been happening for literal decades. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we polled everyone who's ever watched an anime mm-hmm. and they answered honestly who, like, what the ranking of the main MCs
of the Straw Hats was? Oh, main
of
MCs.
Of the main MCs, of, like, Naruto, Luffy, Goku, Tanjiro, Yuji. I don't know.
I feel like it's a popularity contest at that point.
Hunty? What's his name?
Gone? Hunty D. Hunterson? Yeah, of course. Hunty D. Hunterson. Yes. Yeah. Yes, of course. Him.
Yeah, actually, it's Hunter Xavier Hunterson. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. If you know him like that. Some people just call him Xavier.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder, because it is interesting to me that because Luffy...
That would just be a popular... Like, I wish I could do that. Like, you could ask people and it would be non-biased.
I know,
that'd
be a popularity contest. Exactly.
It'd be like, okay, Luffy's number one because most people have seen and enjoyed One Piece.
Exactly. I wonder, like, well, it's, what happened?
I thought my dog was there.
Nope.
When did he leave?
You got some dogs here.
The dogs are always out. Yeah. When you knocked over the camera... I stepped back in and it was a big foot shot. Yeah. It was thank God it was blurry.
Just
otherwise,
a Godzilla shot
for like, sure. Boom. Yeah, it was like right in front of it.
But fuck it. That was the most when I tripped in last week's episode. If anyone didn't watch last week's episode, just watch the first 15 seconds and you'll be hooked. That like all that needed was like a Scooby-Doo sound effect and we'd be on America's Home.
Yeah. That'd be really good. To only make it onto America's Funniest Home Videos. Yeah. Then we'd be famous.
Just to dig Bob Saget out of the grave.
Oh, that'd be great. I think who does it now? Fucking Wayne Brady. I feel like Wayne Brady picks up after everybody dies.
You know, they still make Ridiculousness.
They film 6 episodes a week.
Whoa.
Yeah, Rob Dyrdek has dirt on the fucking owner of MTV. Yeah. I swear to God, dude, he has his porn tape.
I guess it's just what he's just a YouTuber.
He was the original reaction content creator.
I mean, Tosh. He ripped off Tosh.
Oh, that's fair. Tosh did come first. Yeah.
Yeah, and now Tosh is doing a podcast because he's better than Rob.
Yeah, than most people. He's very funny.
I love Tosh. Yeah, he's very funny. Fucking Luffy, One Piece. Oh, well, it's funny because... I'll be reading like large swaths of One Piece and I'll be like, man, I wish Luffy wasn't like 8 steps behind mentally.
Yeah.
But then I'll get to a moment. He has the big moments.
Yeah.
Where he's like, you know, with Chopper. I remember like one that always comes to mind is like when they're fighting Warple or whatever, or Wapple.
Oh, yeah.
Big hippo mouth dude.
Way back. Yeah.
Way back. Luffy holds on to the pirate flag and doesn't let Wapple like take it down. And he's like, this flag means something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's my boy.
So
that's
Luffy,
my boy.
Luffy's likeness. Like how much I like Luffy in every single arc is logarithmic. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's literally like I go into an arc. Everybody else is like an X equals one. Yeah. So like, I like Zoro as much in like at the beginning of this arc as I do at the end.
Yeah.
But for Luffy, it's like, I fucking, God damn it. I hate you so much. And then there's a moment where like he shoots back up. Yeah. So like, I like him as much as everybody else.
Yeah.
So like, there's a moment in every arc where Luffy's like, sees something. And he's like, I can't let this stand. And you're like, oh, this is going to be 100 episodes. Or like, or he does something stupid, like he gets caught or he like gets into a fight that he shouldn't get into, which pulls the attention of the Navy. And you're like, this. Like, Luffy is the plot device of One Piece. Like, his complete and utter incompetence socially is a plot device to start every arc. But by the time the arc, like, end of the arc comes around, you're like, oh, you got me.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah, for sure.
He's like the adorable little brother where you're just like, fucking God damn it. But all right, we'll be good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I mean, that's just like, I personally, if I had to be like greatest MCs of all time, I don't know. This has been like I've been in flux with this recently because like growing up, I would have told you Naruto 1,000 times out of 1,000. And now that I've gotten older and I've like realized what Naruto is and like the core take home message of Naruto, choosing Naruto as like my favorite MC feels wrong. Because within the confines, see, I would understand if you chose Luffy as your favorite MC, because within the confines of One Piece, his, like, he lives up to the ideology and to the core tenet of One Piece. Like, right. Luffy matches One Piece. One Piece moves with Luffy. And there's never a moment throughout One Piece where Luffy contradicts what the core tenet of One Piece is about. It's about freedom. It's about rallying against the government. It's about protecting your friends. Right. It's about doing the right thing. Luffy always does that. Naruto is about persevering. Right. Naruto is about overcoming hardship. Naruto is about, like, being born with nothing and achieving everything. And while for large swaths of Naruto, Naruto does embody that message, towards the end, he just fucking doesn't. Like, he just does, like, it's just like, eventually he becomes the reincarnation of a god, right, who you realize is the son of the fourth Hokage, possibly the strongest Hokage in the history of the entire village, the last remaining member of the strongest clan to ever exist. He is the inheritor of the strongest tailed beast, who just kind of befriends him eventually. And, like, obviously there's hard work to get Naruto to all these points, but, like, he's the child of prophecy. Yeah. He's this reincarnation of a god. He's right. Ashura. Yeah. And so as time, and, like, as my relationship with Naruto is deepened, I'm like, Naruto doesn't represent the core values of Naruto, as well as characters like Sakura, Rock Lee,
right,
fucking even Neji. Like, Neji, like, realizes from Naruto what Naruto's about, and then adopts that, like, harder as a character than Naruto. And so that's why, of, like, if somebody was like, hey, here's my grand list of MCs, I mean, genuinely, I wouldn't blame you for, like, I enjoy Naruto as a character more than Luffy, but I could never blame somebody for saying that Luffy's a better MC than Naruto.
It's just, like, I think the problem is that there's, like, Naruto as a show and manga, its quality has, like, varied so hard,
yeah,
whereas One Piece has stayed, like,
very consistent.
Yeah, very consistent. So it's, like, it's tough to be, like, this is a great MC in an okay anime, like, run currently.
Yeah.
Like, OG Naruto, very good character. Shippuden's very good. And then, like, I hear people don't like him in Boruto.
So, the way I would say it is that both Naruto and One Piece end up at a final score after you consider, like, at least all that's out for One Piece at, like, around, like, high 80s, low 90s.
Uh-huh.
But Naruto can fluctuate between 45 and, yeah, 100.
Yeah.
One Piece fluctuates between 62 and, like, 94. Like, there's no 100.
I love your numbers.
Thank you. That's They're what I'm here for. So but, like, crazy. Like One Piece can get boring, but, yeah, it's never like, this is bad.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, it's like Punk Hazard. Impel Down's a lot of fun. Punk Hazard. Some people don't like Skypiea. But there's times in Naruto where you're like, it makes no sense. And it's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, this shouldn't have fucking happened.
Right.
And, like, that doesn't really happen in One Piece, but it can get boring. And Naruto doesn't really get boring in the same way that One Piece gets boring.
Right, right. Got you. I wanted to bring up also, because you talked about how it's, like, Child of Prophecy, Minato's the strongest Hokage in the history of whatever.
Yeah.
It's always annoying to me. Like, Child of Prophecies annoy me. Like, mm-hmm, stuff like that. Prophecies and stuff.
It's Deus Ex Machina.
It's very annoying.
Machina.
I know, you did say Makima.
I got Makima on the brain.
But, like, that's annoying, but I'd mind it less if it wasn't always the strongest. Like, of course Minato has to be the strongest Hokage. Mm-hmm. Like, what if he was just, like, the smartest Hokage?
Yeah.
You know? And then there was another one who was physically the strongest. Mm. I hate that, like, the prophecy is always physical strength.
Yeah.
You know? It's never just like, oh, this guy had the most emotional intelligence,
yeah,
and this is his
son. Could read the hell out of a room.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just annoying that it's always that repetitive.
Mm-hmm. And I would love to be like, hey, like, you know, your parents were strong, but, like, you added on,
yeah,
to it. Like, it,
yeah,
was like,
exactly,
it's like your parents weren't, like, two gods didn't come together to create you, and, like, yeah, you weren't a reincarnation. And so, like, this is very much, it's a conversation that goes on all throughout anime. It's like hard work versus, like, you know, like,
yeah,
like luck or, yeah, talent, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Naruto is just like, because he started to oscillate, in my mind at least, between those two categories, is it hard work, is it talent? I'm like, oh, I don't know if he's my favorite character, which is why Hunter D. Hunterson,
right,
is my favorite MC of all time. But that's an incredibly unpopular opinion, because everyone's like, oh, Gon's the worst part of, like, Hunter Hunter. And I'm like, you clearly don't understand the message of Hunter Hunter at all.
He's too chipper, right?
Well, everyone's like, oh, he's a kid, he doesn't get it. And it's like, that is the idea.
Yeah.
Is that, like, Hunter Hunter is a story, when Gon is the MC, about a child being indoctrinated to the cruelty of the world and people trying to protect him from that cruelty until they no longer can.
Yeah.
And then once they no longer can, he breaks and he turns into an adult. It's it's metamorphosis. Like, literally, the ending of his story turns him into an adult.
Yeah.
So people just, like, see the base layers, and it's like, you don't realize the weight behind Gon becoming an adult at the end of his story and how much that is meant to represent, like, an adult, like, literally cloaked in darkness and blackness. Yeah. That is, like, this is a story about him growing in a world that wants to destroy him.
Right, right.
So people don't get that, and that's why he's my favorite MC. He never, like, he is the story.
Yeah.
He embodies the heart of the story, and without him, the story doesn't move. And to me, that's what makes a good MC.
Right.
If you had to say favorite MC.
Me?
Probably Tanjiro, right?
I don't know. I do really like Tanjiro. It's tough because he's not like, I don't know. It's tough that we're in this period where like Demon Slayer is a little mid, mm-hmm. like at the moment.
Yeah.
So like maybe if you asked me like when, what do you call it? Red Light District entertainment arc.
Gotcha. Had just dropped. Well, dropped. Oh, fucking Tanjiro.
Yeah. I'd probably be like, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. It's like,
oh man, I wish you were up to date on the MHA manga.
Yeah.
Oh.
Deku's up there. Deku's like definitely one of my favorite.
It's going crazy.
He's so like, out of all the MCs, mm-hmm. Tanjiro is pretty good. He's up there. He's very good. But out of all the MCs, a big problem a lot of them have is stagnation.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, Goku truly never changes personality.
He's been the same character since the 80s.
Yeah, he's always the same. Fucking Luffy, as far as I can tell, like, from where I'm at.
No, you're right.
Like, he learns things, and so does Goku. Like, they adapt to situations.
They learn more powers.
Yeah, they learn, yeah, they do more blasts.
Yeah.
But, like, they learn things, and they, like, adapt to situations, but they don't, like, you're never like, oh, the decisions that, like, Cell Saga Goku makes mm-hmm. are different than the decisions, like, Saiyan Saga Goku would have made.
Yeah.
You know? And even though, like, I think something people might turn to is, like, Goku realizing he's being a bad father and sacrificing himself at the mm-hmm. end of Cell Saga. I don't believe that, like, by Buu Saga or by Super, he would be like, no, I'm never going to do that again.
Yeah.
I think he'd do that again.
Yeah, with the OG shonens, I feel like the idea was to advance the powers and not the character. Mm. And so it's like, oh, look at this character get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, but we don't need to advance them emotionally because they're being advanced physically.
Yeah, and Naruto, like, base Naruto and Shippuden Naruto are different, but it feels more like an age thing. Like, he does learn, but, like, him being, like, much taller and much older, like, does help.
It's more his relationship with Kurama changes. Yeah. So his relationship with Kurama in OG Naruto is very much just Naruto being like, oh, like, there's this entity that wants me dead, but occasionally he helps me. And then, like, there's the Waterfall of Truth moment in Shippuden where Naruto has to fight, like, a dark version of himself. But, like, genuinely, throughout Naruto, Naruto never really changes. He's still like, I'm going to grit my teeth. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to bring my friends into it. And we're all going to get to it, like, get through it as a group.
Yeah.
That never really changes. But, like, his motivations and how he goes about things changes as his relationship with Kurama changes.
You know what's interesting? Light Yagami, mm-hmm. like, never changes. He is, like, totally static the entire show.
I guess.
But very interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't bother me. You know what I mean? Like, he gets,
It could be like overuse fatigue. Because, like, Light Yagami's, what, 40 episodes? Like, Death Note's 48 episodes, maybe?
There's definitely that. He just never, there's no, like, like, again, he learns. Mm-hmm. He, like, adapts based on the situation. And, like, yes, late game Light Yagami would make different decisions than base game.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yagami. But it's more because he's, like, strategic. They're more strategic decisions. It's not so much he's, like, I don't know.
I don't know if I agree with that, actually.
I don't know. Early Light Yagami is so fine to kill innocents.
Yes.
By episode 3, it's not like he's, like, he doesn't make this metamorphosis where he's, like, more sinister by the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by episode 3, he kills Ray Pember's wife just out of self-preservation.
I guess. So, like, fair. Okay, I think the story of Death Note is a story of absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? So it's like, as you see, like, this ability to kill anybody. Now, you're a god of death, yeah, essentially. Right. You're a Shinigami. You can do whatever you want. And so, like, in the beginning, the first thing he does is he writes down the name of, like, every criminal in the city, right? Yeah. So he slowly starts to kill for self-preservation. But then by the end of it, like, paranoia kicks in, and he believes he's this god, and he's trying to trick people. And so I actually do think Light changes, but maybe, like, the core of, like, he always had this god complex. Yeah. He always believed he was better than people. But once that power got into his hands and he was actually able to live up to this god complex, I believe that the power gets to him, and therefore the paranoia gets to him, because he doesn't want to lose the power that's finally justifying his god complex.
Yeah, he definitely does become, like, more paranoid. I don't know. I'd have to rewatch it, just because I rewatched the first, like, 10 episodes recently, because it became my plane show when I was flying. And something that's really funny about Death Note is it can be enjoyed, like, audio only just as much as it can be enjoyed with
like
visuals.
As a podcast.
Yeah, it 100% can. I don't know.
Well, there's no, like, fights, you know, it's just a light L like conversation.
Because I was watching it on my laptop, and then, like, they're like, put your stuff away. And I was like, okay, closed it, put it away. But the audio kept playing for some reason. And I was like, oh, whatever. It's like 3 a.m. I'll just shut my eyes until we land.
Yeah.
And the episode kept going. And I was like, I am enjoying this the exact same amount as I was with my laptop open.
Yeah. Like, it also, like, you've seen it, so you know, like, what it would, like, you know, Elle's, like, perched somewhere eating a cake, and you know what Light looks like.
No, for sure. So if you're ever rewatching Death Note and you got to go on a drive or something, works as a podcast,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, just do the podcast of Death Note. Yeah. I've definitely gone on road trips, and I've just thrown One Piece on as a pod.
Really?
Like, oh, yeah, I've just thrown One Piece on as a pod.
Didn't Daniel tell us they watched One Piece while driving, and you were like, that's insane?
I wouldn't have said that was insane. I've done it.
Interesting.
Fully. That's because, crazy. Listen, there's 2-3 things maybe important that happened in every episode of One Piece. The rest of it's filler, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's all, like, it's not filler, it's pacing, but, like, it's like I can just listen to them fight the non-canon bees,
right?
And then, like, Luffy's delivering the final punch. I'm like, all right, cool, saw it, and then that'll be it.
Right.
So if I'm on, like, a road trip and I don't have, like, a podcast, and I the first ever road trip I did, I listened to, like, Serial, Dr. Death, all those standard, like, murdery podcasts. Once I ran out, I was like, I'm fucking crushing One Piece.
Right.
That's going to be what I do. Should we talk about Metallic Rouge?
I didn't see it. I don't know when Metallic Rouge comes out.
Nice.
I just watch it on Saturdays.
I also don't really know when it comes out. Episode 4 is out.
Yeah.
We did learn something, though, which I think is an interesting talking point that I want to chat about.
Okay.
Right? So
feel free to spoil it entirely.
Well, no. I won't spoil it. It's like, it's kind of fun. It's a fun episode. Like that Hisoka character who has, like, the card shows back up.
Yeah. Right.
Fun. But,
oh, I know where this is going.
So we got a text from our incredible editor, Stank. And both me and Danny have been very vocal on the fact that Rouge and, Naomi is her name. Very attractive.
Yeah.
And there's been multiple people in the show who said that. The woman with the camera's like, you're both knockouts. And like Danny and me were like, yeah, we agree. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. And so it was brought to our attention by Stank, our incredible editor, that Naomi, 23. Great.
Nice.
Love that for us.
Huge. Great number.
Love.
Air high five.
Love. Age of consent, baby. Hell yeah. A couple years above it. 23 is actually
several years above it.
Well,
five
I was
going to
say 23 is probably the youngest I would go. Nowadays,
I feel that
maybe 22. I could go 22, maybe.
I feel like 3 to 4 would be like absolute pushing it limit for me. 4 years, which would be 21. Because I feel like the mature, like when I was 21, my mental maturity was around the same as it is currently.
Really,
I feel like my big arc was like 18 to 19, huge jump in mental maturity.
Fair.
19 to 21, also very big. That was my cynicism years.
Oh, when you were like, I'm too good for this college.
Well, 18 to 19 was big cynicism years.
Oh, you're so emotional and deep.
I commuted to a school for a year.
Gotcha.
Who I knew nobody at.
Nice.
Nobody likes a commuter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say, if you're commuting, this isn't me being like, you suck. It's me sympathizing for you.
Oh, no, for sure. Like, I went to a boarding school and we had 300 kids in the entire school. Probably 25 of them were day students who like drove in, and everyone was like, ew.
People treat you like a goddamn street rat.
Dude, they're like, oh, you're done with class. You're going to
Yeah.
You're gonna drive home? Poor, ew. Yeah,
you're like, it's ew. Very poor, ew. Yeah. I had, one person told me to like, not sit on their bed. Because I had that commuter ass grease on me.
You got the tailpipe of the, like the highway on you.
I was like, I was commuting and I had like 9 a.m.s because I was like a freshman. Mm-hmm. So I had 9 or 8 a.m. classes and I lived an hour away from school.
Oh, God.
So I was getting up at 6.
Oh, God.
I had 9 a.m. classes and then I had a 10 p.m. theater meeting on Mondays. And I was like, is there any way I could not do this? Like, there's nothing for me to do on campus all day.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's the one requirement for your grant. And I'm like, reading every single comic in the library, it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Time to be that guy in the corner.
When you have like 14 hours to kill on mm-hmm. campus, anytime you're in someone's dorm and you're not literally fucking them,
yeah.
they are like, so like how long are you gonna be in?
Oh,
here?
It's like, it's because like, I kind of want, there's like so yeah. little alone time, mm-hmm. especially when you live in a double and you're like, all right, my double is not here for like the next yeah. 3 hours. I have like 15 minutes to like work one out, you know, yeah. before they get yeah. back. You know, I can't do that with you here.
Yeah, big work one out energy.
Oh, absolutely,
well,
dude.
I also, the only friends I made in that school were women mm-hmm. and I had a girlfriend at the time. Oh. So they were all like, you offer us nothing. Like, why
yeah.
are you here?
Yeah. You don't listen. There's no satisfaction happening yeah. between us.
It's the female equivalent of let me rub one out. Like yeah. get out of
get
here.
Get the fuck
like,
out of here. Yeah. Man, if I was a commuter, yeah, I'd just be fucking, I would lower my standards a couple points and I would make a woman fall in love with me to just like have a place.
I'd be like, I will watch every episode of Friends.
Oh my
every
God.
Bob's Burgers mm-hmm. and I will laugh.
You like The Office? Yeah. Oh my God, so do I. Yeah. Yeah. Let's order pasta Alfredo for the 9th time in a row. I love you. Yeah.
I have a subscription.
Don't make me go back to the Corolla, please.
I have a subscription to Panera Bread. Yeah. Like, I will
you,
work there.
Me, mac and cheese out of a bread bowl, baby. Yeah. I'm paying. Yeah.
Yeah, it do be rough for commuters. Why did I say this?
Oh, because you're talking about your cynicism years.
Yeah. 18 and 19, I got real cynical. If you're driving like an hour, if you're driving 2 hours a day, like fresh out of high school with no friends, you are with your thoughts. Like,
listen, genuinely, I'm very proud that you pulled through that. I would have maybe been Kurt Cobain's cousin. Like, I would have been like Kurt Cobain's like roommate.
I like low-key recommend it. I got so like, high school's such a bubble of like whatever your friends think mm. and whatever like fucking toxicity is going on in high school that my like 2 hours a day of alone time really had me like just philosophizing, but in a non-pretentious way where I just remember driving one day and I was like, hey, there should be more female leading roles in movies.
Wow.
Just out of nowhere. I was literally like, oh, hey, yeah, like, it would, because I was, like, thinking about how, like, everyone in high school was like, oh, like, women are taking Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And high school was like, yeah, like, where's all our cool dude shit?
Where's all the men without their shirts
yeah.
on?
Yeah. And then I was, like, driving, and I was like, wait, like, that feeling I get when I'm like, oh, there's less, like, dude leads in, like, Star Wars or Marvel or whatever, that's what women feel
All the time? Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my, and I just fucking like the galaxy opened up yeah. and I was like, women are hurting. Yeah.
And somewhere Sarah was like, why am I wet? What just happened? Yeah. I feel a cosmic connection. What happened?
Yeah. But I understand that like, it can also be equally dangerous where just me being in a car with only my thoughts and maybe a Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah, it's like Trump yeah. is right. Why did I yeah. say that? What does that mean?
Yeah. So I got very lucky, being yeah. a sane person, but like, yeah, so those were cynicism years, and then, like, 19 to 21, I was really figuring out adulting. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like 21 to 23 really plateaued.
Really?
Yeah.
No, not for me.
No?
I would say 18 to 19, huge step up emotionally for me, because I just, like, broke out of high school. You know, I was in college, and I was, like, not the most, like, I didn't get popular in high school until junior year. Like, freshman year, sophomore year, I got the shit kicked out of me. I was like super bullied. Junior year, when all of like the older kids were gone, I was like one of the older kids on the campus. Like, I was like, cool. Like, now I can like be comfortable, be myself. Immediately like made friends with everybody, like knew everybody in the school. So like rose to like the tops of popularity. And I was like, cool. I went into college with that level of competence where I was like, I can be popular. I can make friends. I can do things. I can meet people. So I go into college. I open up. I'm just like meeting people. I'm banging chicks. I'm just crushing it.
Nice.
And so I would say from 19 to 21, I probably did no growth whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I was just the dude fucking around trying to like find maybe a woman who would find me slightly interested. Right. The only difference in me, I was a shonen MC. I changed physically in that I put a shit ton of weight on.
Yeah.
And then I got out of like a long, like very arduous, like complicated, emotionally abusive relationship.
You did like one grunt and all your muscles popped into existence. Ah!
Yeah. And then just like everything just like sucked back in. Yeah, more or less. That's like what trying to lose weight as a 21-year-old man feels like. Yeah. I was losing like, I lost 50 pounds in 4 months.
Wow, congrats. Yeah. Or you should have seen a doctor.
I probably should have seen a doctor. Yeah. And so I boxed my entire life. So like I know how to lose weight.
Right.
21 to 23, fair amount of growth. Like I was like, all right, we don't need to go clubbing. Let's just go to bars. Let's hang out. 23 to 25, the most growth. Like I just became an adult. Wow. Like the second I got out of college, I was like adult time. And now like 25 to 27, I feel like I would hang out with 24-year-old me, maybe not 23-year-old me. I'd be like, you're a bit much.
Right.
But like, yeah, 24, 27, I think this is where I'm going to stay.
Right.
Like, I'm good here.
That makes sense. I will say COVID happened when I was 21.
Yeah.
So it was
I think I was 22, like an old 22, young 23.
So it devoured my college experience, like from years 21 to 23. Mm. So like, yeah, maybe there is a difference in maturity between 21 and 23 because they're still in college. When do you leave college? 23.
COVID
right?
happened at the end of my master's degree. So I was...
You have a master's degree?
I have a master. I have an MBA.
How many years was that? 1 year? Oh, master's degree. Every Cornell lawyer, come fucking hop in the chat here.
It's called a plus one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's when, okay, a master's degree is incredibly easy to get course load wise.
Yep.
If you stack up on courses and take summer courses, you can do it in a year.
Crazy.
Yeah, I also took, so there's hybrid classes that you can take in undergrad if you're planning on doing a plus one that give you credit for your post-grad and pre-grad.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
I got a buddy at Harvard who's like a neuroscientist or whatever. I always want to say surgeon, but I don't think that's what it is.
A massive difference between neuroscientist and neurosurgeon.
No, he is a neuroscientist. Okay, cool. I just never hear anyone say BNS, neuroscientist.
Behavioral neuroscience?
No, well, maybe he's trying to figure out like the chemical side of shit.
Probably BNS like, then, yeah.
Then maybe. He's like really into serotonin because apparently we know way less about serotonin than like people actually say.
We know MDA gives you a lot of it, but that's temporary.
We know like
ketamine helps, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. He was saying a lot of shit where I was like very ignorantly being like, I was like, well, isn't it this? Uh-huh. And he's like, no, but I like study this for years.
Yeah, but like, I'm at Harvard, please shut the fuck up. Yeah.
But anyway, he's going to be taking classes until he's fucking 32 with no breaks. Like,
fucking loser shit, dude. Fucking, who cares? Get out of college. Yeah, don't do a PhD in science. You don't need it anymore. Nobody gets PhDs anymore.
Yeah, get a PhD in Naruto and you'll make 8,000 times more.
I make more than my old CEO, baby.
I know. I told him that. I told him about you. I was like, my podcast co-host makes X money. And I just saw him like I pinched him with a needle and just deflate.
Mm-hmm. But I have a master's in biotechnology. So, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever works. Anyway. So our incredible editor brought to us the point that Naomi, 23 years old.
Yep.
Rouge.
Yeah.
10.
Bullshit.
Well, here's my thing, right?
She's a beep boop.
She's a beep boop. Yeah. That's what I be saying. Okay, here's, all right. Because this is a road that we're probably going to have to cross at some point in the future, right?
Oh God,
like have you played Detroit Become Human?
Yeah.
So in Detroit Become Human, right, you know, there's the line of robots. There's like lines of robots that are meant to be protection robots. There's lines of robots that are meant to be house cleaning robots.
Oh, God. I hate where this is going.
There's also fuck bots.
I think I take back my beep boop statement.
There's fuck bots. Yeah. There's stripper bots. There's all of that. do I have to wait 18 years after the fuckbot is made?
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to be like, there are child robots.
No, well...
Is that wrong? Well, because it's a robot.
There's child robots in Metallic Rouge, which I actually found really interesting. This was revealed... Actually, maybe episode 3 or 4. Nobody fucks them, but it's like 4 people who couldn't have kids.
People fuck them. I think that guy said that. No. He was like, there are people with evil intentions with this kid.
Actually, you're right. Yeah. There was. Yeah, there
people
was.
People do fuck
them. Yeah, he was like, but most people were chill. Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. People don't. But like, it is a cool idea that it's like, oh, hey, people like children, like parents who can't have children.
Yeah.
Here's this child robot. And he's like, I've had 27 families. And I was like, that's kind of sweet.
But okay, this is very interesting.
Right.
Because I said... Also, huge preface, she is 10 years old from factory.
From factory.
She's not like...
She's not built a 10-year-old to look like robot. She's 10.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. So she's built to look like 23 or
probably
whatever.
As old as Naomi.
Yeah. So...
I gotta wait 18 years to fuck this robot?
Because I won't.
Because I won't fucking... There'll be way better robots out by the time she's 18.
So... There'll be way hotter robots.
There'll be way hotter robots.
And there'll be three.
They'll have washable mouths.
Here's the thing. It's genuinely interesting because I was like, she's a beep boop. Who cares? But then it's like, well, they're child robots.
Yeah.
And they're also beep boops.
Fuck the child robot.
Well, exactly. But they're both beep boops. I agree. Don't fuck the child robot.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that it's a beep boop. Isn't a reason. You need further reasons.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but what's interesting about the child beep boop also is he seemingly has the maturity of an adult it's a robot.
He's leading a fucking revolution of neons. Yeah.
Yeah. So they all have the intelligence of adults, which is like the intelligence and maturity thing is the reason do not fuck children.
Yeah.
And so it's like, don't fuck child robots.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
But like, do the robots mature? That's the question.
Right. When
a robot is made, is it just like goo goo gaga? Because that'd be fucking stupid as shit.
That's what I mean. That's why this 10-year-old quote unquote rouge robot.
Yeah.
If they just come out of the factory with the intelligence of like a 23-year-old, then they're like 23.
Yeah.
But if they come out and they're like, what's blue?
Yeah. Then it's like, all right, well, I won't fuck this robot. Like, this one's a little slow.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's just such a funny moral line because like, I do think it's something that humans are going to have to cross at some point. Like we have, we're almost there already. Mm. Like we have, what are they? They're real dolls.
Yeah.
Like the real dolls nowadays are like 5 foot, 110-pound dolls. That just whompers straight up weapons up front, and they like are now programmable with like AI technology where they can hold a conversation.
Well, it's interesting because then it's like, can a robot consent?
Uh-huh.
But also, can a robot experience trauma? So does it matter? You know, that's why it's interesting. That's why the beep boop thing is genuinely interesting. Not because I'm like, oh, maybe there's a loophole around fucking a robo child, like. There's not, but it's like, if a robot, the reason like having sex with someone who isn't consenting is wrong is because like they have feelings and they have like, they experience trauma.
Fair.
Do robots, you know, like a pillow with a hole cut in it doesn't experience trauma.
Fair. Like, very fair. Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, you put a couple like hot sponges in a Pringle can, you know,
Let's get more creative.
you get two bags of beans. Yeah. You warm them up in the microwave. Listen, we've all tried to make pocket pussies at home.
You're so good at making vaginas.
All tried.
I was struggling to come up with like, I was like, you know, listen, you find a nice terrain of soggy moss.
you fuck that hill.
Yeah.
You know, a salt burn moment. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It harpens back to what I was talking about last week. Harps back to what I was talking about last week, where I was like, the second that AI has like any kind of sentient thought, I'm like, oh yeah, human.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
human immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh, cool. Like you are like, hey, I have feelings. I'm like, you know what? You can vote. Like, absolutely. Sure. Why not? Like, I understand. And I was thinking about it. What's really interesting about
the second you're like, Yeah, you can vote. Like, the next day you're going to get a newspaper thrown at your face and you're like, robot president!
This isn't what... I didn't think they would go this fast. And so what I found really interesting about this episode was the fact that it was like, oh, this most recent episode, is that the grand total goal of Metallic Rouge is that Rouge kills the Immortal Nine, right? And, like, she's trying to collect the ids of the Immortal Nine. What's interesting about that is the Immortal Nine are the only Naeons who have the ability to injure humans. So they're the only human, like, the only chance for Naeons to ever break out of, like, the grasp of humanity, right? Because a big part of this episode that you haven't seen yet is that the Naeons are trying to run away from these soldiers, but as they're trying to run away, the soldiers can just be like, halt, yeah. And they have to listen, and then they just get shot, which yeah. is like, it's wild, it's gritty, but at the same time, right? What I find really interesting about this show is I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
Because like part of me absolutely is like, Naeons should have freedom. If you're an AI and you have feelings, thoughts, you want freedom, all of this, you should be free. Yeah. But at the same time, part of me is like, oh, this is a hyper powerful AI tool that we created to fight fucking aliens we stood no chance against. And it's like, yeah. So they have this like Asimov code where they can't hurt humans.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if we ever make AI, well, I want them to have their own sentience and like the ability to do whatever they want. Like, I feel like the Asimov code is essential.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Your big thing. Well, I agree, first off. But your big thing is that we created them.
Yeah.
So we are entitled to making sure they don't supersede us.
Yeah.
Does your mom have the entitlement to kill you if you become more successful?
And she told me that all the time as a child. She was like, I brought you into this world to take you out of it.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Like, if you have a kid.
No.
And he's like, you know, I'm gonna fucking be the next big YouTuber.
But it's a little different.
You cut his funding.
Well, maybe. So it's like, like he was like, if his Naruto analysis is better than mine, I'm fucking kneecapping that little brat. Are you kidding me? No. That's a really good point.
But then I could be in a chair for longer. So really, who are you helping?
Jesus Christ. All right.
I'm just keeping you ready.
I'm hitting him in the head. I'm dropping him on his soft spot as a baby. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little bit different because it's like, oh, my kid is hyper intelligent, has the ability to adapt to everything, and also can fight wars that we couldn't even conceptualize winning without him.
Right.
Like, my son is a superior being in all rights and facets, and like technically, if they get freedom, they will extinct us.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a biological urge to be like, hey, that's a greater being. Let's make sure it doesn't take us the fuck out.
Is that not just a zoomer?
What do you mean?
Is that not just a Gen Z?
Is that just like Gen Alpha, just like knowing, like being born with an iPad and be like, oh, you don't understand the settings?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, some like boomers just like trying to figure out how to work Skype.
Just trying to work their pacemaker, like.
No, that is fair, because I guess that could be a deeper conceptual look at it is like Naeons are the natural evolution of what humans would become.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like forced evolution, right?
It's interesting because I feel like I've never seen anyone explore the actual generational like tie to the AI fear. You know, no one's ever like done a boomer versus zoomer look at the like AI concept. You know what
gotcha.
I mean?
Gotcha. So you're saying like Naeons and any AI is overtaking the world could be looked at from a generational stopgap of being like, hey, technology always updates, but AI is a representation of technology updating and outdating the old.
It's like it could be looked at a parallel of like Gen X being afraid of Gen Z and Gen Z being afraid of Gen Alpha.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, because Gen Z is coming into the workforce with their superior knowledge on Excel, social media and all those kinds of things, they're making the older generations irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, sure, you can crush those paper worksheets, but those are no longer relevant. And now this injection of an entirely new generation that's more technologically advanced than you technically makes you irrelevant.
Yeah. It's interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah. I feel like I've never seen it through that, like, much of a human scope.
Yeah.
You know? It's usually just the literal fear of technology.
I think this conversation has changed my opinion.
Really?
I think, I don't know, because then I'm like, oh, but what if they could kill humans? Right? I feel like, okay, no, here's what it is.
Okay. It's the guns in their arms?
Yeah, sort of.
It's
right?
The laser cannon.
It's the fact that when they shoot their shot, they don't bleed. Yeah. They have one spot that can kill them, and it's their fucking nectar import.
So the thing that keeps you from changing your mind is the fact that we can kill Gen Alpha.
Yeah, right, because that's the thing. Yeah. Right, when it comes down to it, everyone can pull a trigger. Yeah. But it's like I get shot in the head, I die. A Neon gets shot in the head, they probably don't die. But then again, if you look, it's about the scope that you look at it. If you look at the Neons as an extension of the human evolutionary experience, then you're like, of course, this is what humanity has become, but they don't have the ability to reproduce, right? So it's like, oh, like technologically you're an evolution, but biologically you're a creation. And so I'm like, the thing I want technically is if you could imprint the Asimov code into everyone.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's like, I'm like, oh, it's nice that Neons can't kill humans, but I also want humans to be forbidden from killing Neons. Right. Yeah. I want like, this is going to sound fucking stupid. No murder, right? Like, no murder. So the fact that, yeah, listen, some
yeah.
murder.
Yeah, wow, you're limiting, liberal over here.
The fact that you're limiting the new generation from murder
yeah.
is, to me, an inherent plus.
Well, here's the thing. Is that not an argument to let the robots wipe us out? Because, right, you were like, jokingly, you were like, some murder.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what would happen if humans had a do not kill robot Asimov thing.
Yeah.
And robots had a do not kill human Asimov thing.
Yeah.
Why stop there? Like, because then humans can still kill humans.
Yeah.
Robots can still kill robots. Wouldn't it be best to have robots have a don't kill humans, don't kill robots thing?
Mm-hmm.
No more children. And then it's just robots. No one's killing anybody.
Well, then so humans go extinct?
Yeah.
But, like, there's, okay, so...
You like murder, don't you,
Well, no. I'm saying no murder for anybody. But, like, from, like, a biological standpoint, right. Like, there's something deep within me that's, like, extinction is, like, that is the one avoidance. Mm. Like, it's why we reproduce. It's like avoid extinction at all costs.
Yeah.
Propagate, spread your seed, grow your line.
Right.
That's the kind of thing. So, it's, like, the fact that there's something that could bring about extinction is what's terrifying to me. And so that Asimov code is interesting, but at the same time, the Asimov code makes them technically like a slave race to humans because they have no option. There's no alternative option to like, hey, listen, because they can't invoke violence against us. So it's like, hey, because you can't fight back, technically there'll never be a scenario in which you'll be able to become equal to humans.
Yeah.
So it's like if there was a somehow no murder clause for everybody, then that'd be great. But that's not a reality. So like, in the Neon's world,
but it could be with AI.
Well, maybe, but if you were only able to, like, to make cyborgs, which I guess if you can take, you I can guess. Make Neons, you can make cyborgs.
Right.
But in the world of Metallic Rouge, I guess no Asimov code would be the most humanistic thing you could do.
Yeah.
Though it is wildly dangerous for humans, technically.
Right.
But it's the right moral thing to do. I feel like if you believe that the Neons deserve freedom and sentience, then the right moral thing to do would be get rid of the Asimov code because that makes them equal with humans.
Wow. Look at you. Big robo rights guy now.
I mean, listen, in Detroit Become Human, I freed the robots.
Yeah.
I think I did it bloodlessly. I might have done it bloodlessly. Oh, like, yeah? But like, I always go for freeing the robots. But like, it is inherently a risk.
I have a friend who is alien racist who whenever we watch a movie, like Avatar is a big one, where I don't think Avatar is like well written or like the most blue people.
Oh, blue people.
There we go.
I was like, oh boy.
What aliens are in The Last Airbender?
I guess you could argue that most benders would be aliens. Why can they control the elements, Daniel?
Well, there's lore behind it.
I don't know. Fucking, there's flying bison.
I guess, well, it's not Earth, is what you were saying.
Yeah.
But so, fucking, when we watch Avatar Blue People, even though I don't think it's, like, the most, like, well-written, like, I don't think it's thought-provoking, but it's funny because my friend will always be like, I'm never going to side against the humans, even though the humans are, like, comically the villains in the Avatar movies.
Yeah.
He's always
just riding with your team no matter what. Yeah. Actually, I kind of respect
that. Yeah, he's like, regardless of what this movie tells me, I'm never going to be like, yeah, let Earth die.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it. And so that, like, actual, like, animalistic need for self-preservation is so interesting.
That's such a baller mentality. I kind of love it. I kind of love it. They're like, fucking, like, destroy that planet. Mm-hmm. We gotta save Earth.
Exactly.
I kind of fucking love it.
You kind of gotta.
All right, so we should move on to our flashback.
Sure.
I have a really fun flashback.
Cool. I don't remember mine. It's on my phone.
Cool. We can just do mine then. My flashback is absolutely hilarious. Like, okay. Gut-wrenchingly funny. And I accidentally, you closed out of it yeah. when you looked up how to film horizontally.
That's fine. I remember mine.
Cool.
My Hero Academia, mm-hmm. the new movie, has a title and release date.
Okay. And what is it?
I think it's August 8th
mm-hmm.
and it's called You're Next.
They're trying to pull me in? Right.
Yeah, it's either called You're Next or I'm First.
Okay, good.
I don't remember.
Good, good. It's completely different things. All right, let's do mine.
Okay, you don't think that's crazy? New movie coming out? New My Hero movie coming out?
No, we knew the new My Hero movie was coming out. We just didn't know when.
Oh, I thought the third was going to be the last one.
No, fourth one we knew was coming out.
Got you.
But
all right.
I'm happy that we have a date for it. The title of this article is Solo Leveling Removes World-Class Studio from Credits Following Backlash.
Is this real? I saw an Instagram post about this.
I don't know. I'm reading it from CBR.
Okay. That's legit.
They're legit. So this article is written by Chike Nwaneni. I think that's Nigerian. And I absolutely butchered it. So I'm just going to read a little bit of this article for you because sure. I find it fucking hilarious. Yeah. The popular Solo Leveling anime faces backlash from Korean viewers after including a talented but controversial studio in its production, causing it to be removed from the credits entirely. Studio Uri, P-P-U-R-I. The studio responsible for animating the well-received Solo Leveling opening song was pulled from the anime's credits following the backlash from Korean fans. As Naver blog post denotes, this only affected Korean domestic distribution of the series, and the decision to do so was also motivated by the stock drop of Solo Leveling publishers, DNC Media.
But why else did it happen, Nick?
I'm going to get to it.
I know.
Studio, I'm going to call them Puri, has garnered a negative reputation among certain parts of Korea due to perceived anti-men gestures, including in its works in links to the feminism group Magalia. Magalia has attracted attention in Korea in part due to its strategic exposing Magalia has attracted attention in Korea in part due to its strategy of exposing misogynistic behavior by doing it in reverse across online communities. The symbol of this movement, which is the small peepee, if anybody, you've ever seen somebody do a small peepee sign, it's the fingers, it's your index finger and your thumb really close to each other. Particularly attracted strong backlash due to its implications surrounding Korean penis sizes.
Yeah.
Puri has been accused of sneaking this gesture into numerous works, including Maple Story. Some even claim that the Solo Leveling opening features the reference. However, News Tomato agrees the decision to remove Studio Puri from the credits was likely motivated by stock concerns, reporting that DNC Media stock from January 15th was down more than 6% from the previous trading day, as well as seeing a 10% drop during the day. So...
yeah, summarize, because God, do you talk fast.
So, basically what happened is that there was a studio that animated Solo Leveling's intro song, its opening song. And this studio has ties to a feminism group called Magalia. And Magalia goes across the internet to people posting misogynistic stuff, and they just post the fucking emoji of the small penis size. And because Korea is such a wildly conservative country,
yeah.
like, so fucking conservative. Like, I get everybody wants to be a Korea boo. Oh, I love the language. I love K-dramas. Like, listen... women are not treated with the same level of respect there as they are here. That's just how it goes. And so there's a lot of wildly misogynistic things that happen in Korea. And therefore this Korean
feminist group
called Magalia goes around trying to spread a feminist wave of attention.
Trying to spread small pee-pee propaganda.
Small pee-pee propaganda. And they're saying that, like, oh, if you're being misogynistic, you have a small penis, which is funny and probably true. And so, like, the fact that Solo Leveling's being like, well, can't have this. Like, oh, the stock drop's gotta be the fucking Andrew Tate boys of Korea.
Yeah.
So tanking our stocks here. So fucking stupid. Very funny, though.
It's funny that Korea, I get that it's a Korean, like, source material, but it's a Japanese anime.
Yep.
So it's interesting that Korea...
also very conservative culture.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it makes sense because their source material is Korean, so they probably have a big Korean fan base watching this anime. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's so funny.
Yeah. Do you want to know my best boy?
Sure.
Stank.
Nice.
Because Stank's making content.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Stank is doing a video game hardest boss series right now over on TikTok. He's shouting us out in all of his videos because he's our incredible editor. But if you guys want to support us, then please go ahead and support Stank, our fantastic editor, on his journey to become a content creator because he's doing a really good job and I'm actually really enjoying his content. So please, guys, follow him. I believe it's Stank135 over on TikTok. Stank will be editing this, and if I'm incorrect, he'll simply just put it in the fucking... You'll see it on the video. Do you have a best boy?
It's Stank.
Oh, you, yeah, I told you. I told you my best boy was going to make you look like an asshole.
Well, because I don't have one, and I want to keep talking about it. The videos, surprisingly good.
I said, shockingly good.
Yeah, very good.
Stank's also got a very good voice.
That's the shocking part. I'm not shocked that, like, Stank can create something. His voice is so natural for it, and he's so natural at, like, delivering analysis. Like, for someone who, as far as I know, hasn't made content like this before, comes really natural to him, and I was like sucked in. Like, I watched all the videos he like tagged us in. It's kind of stepping on my turf a little.
For honor executions. once it gets to the gore section of his content career,
comedy video game analysis. He cracked a joke, and I was pissed.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Nobody can be funny but Danny as it pertains to video games. And if
no one who works for Danny can.
Heaven forbid he start his Kratos takes. Then we'll really be in your backyard. All right. Outside of that, me and Danny have a draft for all of you.
Yep.
And our draft this week is going to be anime side characters who deserve their own spinoff show. Since you don't have your list, I'm actually going to let you go first. Okay. So you can just have a top of the brain or whatever, front of the brain, frontal lobe, let it fly.
Got you. L would be great for a spinoff series.
Him doing a detective series?
Yeah.
Where he catches like serial killers?
His rise to detective fame, people would eat that up. That would make $1 trillion.
That would be... kind of sick.
That would make all of the money.
Cool. My number one, Minato.
I knew you'd do it.
Minato has already kind of been given a spinoff story, and it was wildly successful, very well received. Minato. What's your number two?
I think I had Colonel Mustang, but also anyone from Full Metal Alchemist.
Colonel Mustang would be fantastic. Yeah. Him in the Ishfallen War when he's just doing war crimes left and right. That would be very interesting to see. I have a lot on this list, but only because I think you might take him. I'm going to go with Rengoku at 2.
Really?
Rengoku has gotten spinoff stories in the Demon Slayer universe already. Wildly popular. He's got a one-shot and a spinoff manga. If you haven't read them, highly recommend you do. His rise to Flame Hashira, fantastic.
Yeah. I'm going to do Homura from Madoka Magica.
She deserves it.
Because, I don't know if you remember, the end of Madoka Magica feels like the beginning of an entirely different anime.
Yeah.
She's like fighting new enemies. Yep. She's got these wings and shit. It's like... stay tuned for Homura Magica.
I think they're doing a sequel movie this year.
They did one and a new movie's coming out as well. Yeah.
So they actually might literally be doing that. All right. Number three for me, Kenpachi Zaraki.
Kenpachi.
He's been the strongest swordsman in Bleach for like a couple hundred years. I think he's the ninth Zaraki, or the ninth Kenpachi or something like that. Seeing his rise to Kenpachi and his like backstory and then him eventually waking his Bankai and TYBW and then like what goes on with Kenpachi after all of that, I would love to see that.
Wow. I'm going to do, give me Levi Ackerman.
I'm so already in the story.
Maybe he goes off and does other stuff. His rise to being in the scout regiment.
Yeah, that's
fair.
That'd
be cool. Because he's got crazy skills. Yeah. Where'd those come from?
You want to see him turn into the Beyblade he is today.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Cool. Then I'm going to go with Gold D. Roger.
Okay.
The original Pirate King.
That's a great call.
He does get a lot of like screen time in Wano, so far as I've seen. But I like a lot of people want to see like... his original tale. Like, everybody wants to see, like, Luffy Part 2 with the guy who did it first.
That's great. That's probably the best one on our draft. I'm going to go with Gohan or anybody but Goku.
That's fair.
Gohan was like scheduled to be the protagonist, I think, after the Cell Saga.
Uh-huh.
And they were just like, nope, Goku makes the money.
And yeah, Goku's selling the merch, baby.
Yeah, and I think like a Gohan spinoff series, which they already kind of tested out with Dragon Ball. What was it called? What was that movie? The Dragon Ball Super movie. Gohan and Piccolo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's literally called Superheroes.
Yeah, Superheroes. Yeah. Kind of tested it out. Do one cooler than that. But yeah, I think that'd be good.
Last but not least, Yuta Okutsu from JJK. Oh, make him the main character of JJK. Show me him out in Miguel, like out in Africa, training all of that up. Give me more of like his year one story. Yeah. Like he's like kind of becoming the MC of JJK again. So like to see the story through his eyes, I thought would have been incredible. But okay, that's all we have, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to do a love letter because our guest is literally downstairs and Dorothy is entertaining her. We have Stella Chu on the podcast right after this. We actually might just stay live because we literally have her downstairs, so we'll just bring her back upstairs. Or we can set up another live, doesn't matter. But I've been NTHammer23, also known as the Weeb Commander. Daniel?
I'm Danny Mata. That's it. That's my name.
Cool. Bye, guys.
Woo.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the class.